Kevin Hunt with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show, and we're going to talk about breweries today. And Jeff, I got to ask you really quickly, how many breweries have you helped go through the process of startup? It's quite a few, isn't it?
It's somewhere between 15 and 20 when you include everybody that's open now, that's in the process of opening very soon, or that are just starting out. So between, I think I've touched about close to 20 of them at various points in my practice.
So real quickly, give our listening audience a quick snapshot on Jeff O'Brien and what you do.
Well, I am a business and real estate attorney with the Minneapolis firm of Lohman Abdo. So I work in a lot of transactional stuff, not mm-hmm. a lot of lawsuits, work with going to work at structuring deals, structuring companies, helping raise money, protecting trademarks and brands and things like that. On the business side, and then of course the real estate side, buying and selling real estate, leasing real estate, which comes into play with this topic very often. And so the brewery stuff just kind of fell into it a little bit, and it's a fascinating area of law, and it's a heavily regulated industry, so there is a huge need to have an attorney guide you through this process.
Understood. I believe there has to be a few benefits to representing breweries, huh?
I have to take a lot of meetings on site, but that's just the cross I have to
that's
bear.
That's just the difficulties of the trade.
Yes.
Okay, so let's get started with the 10 legal steps of opening up a brewery and all the considerations that you have to make. So let's start with what's on the top of the list.
Well, the first one is pretty basic, choosing the name of your brewery.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds kind of elementary, but it does require some research, because you want to make sure that you aren't choosing a name that somebody else is using or that's similar to what somebody else is using.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, because of rules about trademarks and things like that, you don't want to have... The worst thing you could possibly do is double down on a name without doing any kind of Google search, without searching the trademark office database, anything like that. Have nice glasses printed up, T-shirts...
Mm-hmm.
Stickers, hats, letterhead, business cards, pay for a website and a domain name, and then find out there's someone in the next state that's got a very similar name and wants you to stop using it.
And I imagine there's a number of legal complications that come about when that happens.
Well, it's not really complicated. It means that if you're the person that picked the name that somebody else has been using, it's pretty straightforward. You're out a lot of money because you just spent a lot of money on stuff for marketing purposes that you can't use. You're going to have to find another name.
Sure.
One of the things, talk about trademarks, is and in these naming things, is even if it's not another brewery, if you find out some other kind of liquor related business,
mm-hmm.
distilleries, wineries, whatever, if they're operating in in the U.S. where you plan to operate, and they have a similar name, you should stay away from those names too. You really mm-hmm. want to find something that no one else is using to be safe.
Sure. Okay, so beyond choosing a name, they also need to form an entity, and what recommendations do you have for them there?
Sure. Well, yeah, the next step, once you have the name, then we can go ahead and file articles with the Secretary of State, whatever state.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota, we're here in Minnesota, so we file with the Minnesota Secretary of State. And most, this really gets down to two choices, a limited liability company or LLC,
mm-hmm.
and a subchapter S corporation, also we call it S Corp.
Sure.
It's a tax issue, when it comes to this issue with breweries, here's kind of my rule of thumb, and most of my clients open up as LLCs,
mm-hmm.
because, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, about raising money,
mm-hmm.
and with an S corporation, there are restrictions as who can own an S corporation. Basically, it has to be an individual and a resident of the U.S.
Sure.
Okay? No trusts, no corporations, no LLCs, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, in an industry like a brewery, a business like a brewery, where you need a lot of startup capital, typically you're going to outside third parties to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
You want to preserve your options. And so that's why I typically recommend going the LLC. Now, if you're self-funded and you don't have to worry about that, then you could look at, well, am I working in the business? Maybe I can save a little bit on self-employment tax and then go the S-corp. But I would say 90% of the time, the LLC route is probably the best choice of entity for a startup brewery.
Okay. So we've got the name chosen, a entity formed, and I've noticed here that you mentioned both now the considerations for trademarking, both for the brewery name and for the beer names that they're going to have in the brewery. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the brewery name is the primary concern in phase one.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, you've done the research as to the name. You find out that it's available. We've now got articles filed with the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to protect your own name so that somebody else doesn't take your name.
Mm-hmm.
And before you go ahead and buy T-shirts and register a domain name and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we want to file first in that as soon as possible, almost at the same time. I mean, basically, at our office, we file the articles one day, we turn around and file the trademark application for the name the next day.
Sure.
It goes that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to protect that. And then as you go on, if you have a unique beer name, and I'll throw out some here, Surly has Furious.
Mm-hmm.
Liftbridge has Farm Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Fulton has Sweet Child of Vine.
Mm-hmm.
Those are unique names that don't just describe the beer. You're not describing pale ale or IPA or mm-hmm. stout or a porter. You have a unique name that can acquire a secondary meaning in the marketplace.
Absolutely.
And so because of that, if you have names like that where you have something, you're going to have something kind of unique other than just describing the beer, you want to also trademark those. Now, in terms of the trademark process, what we do is you do a preliminary search. The trademark office, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, has a database where you can search on a name to find out if it's available.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can also do, of course, Google searches to see if there's anything out there, if there's any other domain names, if anybody else, any place is using the name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And like I said before, whether it be a brewery or a winery, that's going to be you look at that too. And then once we go ahead that, we do some searches, we file, and hopefully we get back to the trademark office saying you're good to go.
Very nice. Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show talking about breweries and the 10 legal steps to getting your brewery launched if you're out there, in fact, doing that. We'll cover some more here in just a moment, so stay tuned. Again, Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien on the Business Forum Show and talking about breweries and the 10 legal steps involved in getting one started. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. No matter if you're a startup organization or you've been around in business 5 years, 10 years, or maybe 20 or 30 years, you've got a business story that we'd like to hear. Hi, I'm Kevin Hunter on the Business Forum Show. If you'd like to be featured on TBFS Radio, please go to our website, thebusinessforumshow.com, and click on the link for Request an Interview. Again, the website is thebusinessforumshow.com. Or you can call our studios at 763-267-7260. Get in contact with us today. We'd love to hear your story. Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show talking about breweries today and the 10 legal steps involved in getting one started. And we've covered the first four, choosing a name, forming an entity, and getting trademarks filed for both the brewery and the beer names chosen for the brewery as well. So what's next on the list here, Jeff?
Well, Kevin, you know, obviously you have to have a place to do all to brew beer.
Sure.
And, you know, it has to be a building that the federal government is, you know, when you go apply for your license through the TTB, is going to be okay with.
Mm-hmm.
So your basement is not an option.
So it can't be just any place.
No, it's hard to fit the commercial tanks and fermenters and everything else into your garage. You do have to, you know, mm-hmm. find a space, and it could be lots of different things. It all depends on what your business plan says. If you want to be a micro brewery, or do you have some kind of intention to grow and become a regional or a national player in the market? And all that goes, that all considerations in terms of finding your space. And you really should work with someone who is, you know, a commercial real estate broker who's knowledgeable in what your business needs are, because you're going to have to make sure you've got good water. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to make sure that, like I said, that the building can accommodate the equipment that you're bringing in there. And a lot of times in this day and age, you know, such as here in Minnesota, where our breweries can have tap rooms where people can sit there and purchase pints of beer at the brewery, you want to make sure that you have a space that's amenable to that. Not mm-hmm. only production, producing the beer, but having an area where people can sit down and consume it, purchase it and consume it.
Mm-hmm.
So build out considerations and things like that. So most of the time, you're going to be looking at leasing space. Once in a while, someone is able to has the financial means to purchase real estate, and then they would lease it back to the brewery entity. We don't mm-hmm. recommend putting everything in one, especially in an area where they have a business that has alcohol involved. There's always liability.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make a valuable asset like real estate. We don't want to put that on the line as part of the business. So, you want to look for a leased space. And you're going to look at leases kind of come in two varieties when you're talking about commercial leases. They're called triple net or gross leases. Triple mm-hmm. net is where you pay a base rent plus some percentage of the expenses of the property. So it could, taxes, insurance, utilities, maintenance costs. If it's a multi-tenant building, it could be a percentage of what it costs to shovel the sidewalks and mm-hmm. clean off the parking lot or cut the grass if there's common area. If a gross lease, the landlord simply is deciding this is how much I'm going to charge. I take care of all the expenses. So the mm-hmm. landlord is, or at least you gross it up, so to speak,
sure.
to cover what they anticipate to be the expenses. So that's mm-hmm. kind of the two different models of commercial leases that are out there.
Now we need to get into some of the protections that you have to take into consideration, and a couple of these would be having the brewer and the key employees sign non-compete agreements. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you don't want to have your brewer with access to all your recipes not have some understanding that he or she is not allowed to take them with them.
Becoming disgruntled and deciding to go somewhere else.
Exactly. And by the same token, whether it be Minnesota or any place else, the brewery business is booming these days.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of competition for a good brewer.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have an employment agreement that is part protecting trade secrets and acknowledging mm-hmm. that recipes that the brewer creates during his or her time with employed by that brewery belong to the company.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a covenant not to compete, which says for 12 months or 24 months after mm-hmm. they leave, they can't work for a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And you also may have some stock options. You may mm-hmm. have some incentives for them to stay and have them feel like they're building a part of this business
sure.
as a way of recruiting them over to your company as opposed to going with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit, it's kind of some things benefit the brewer, some things benefit the company. And one thing to remember, in Minnesota, as in most states, we are an at-will employment state.
Mm-hmm.
People can quit their job for any reason. Employers can fire somebody for any reason or no reason, absent a contract. So this mm-hmm. is why we want to have a good, if you have your master brewer, you want to have a good employment contract with them, to make sure that the recipes are protected, that they aren't going to go out and move down the road and work for somebody else.
Sure.
That could hurt you. And then also you're going to have some kind of incentive for them to, could be stock options or even some kind of a profit-sharing phantom stock type thing.
Very nice. So what about financial considerations? Because there's always a need for money in any organization that you're starting up. So let's talk about raising money for the brewery.
Kevin, this is probably the biggest area of concern for breweries now
mm-hmm.
is funding them. You have, we want to get some amount of money through a bank loan. That, the SBA is great for, has a lot of different loan programs. A lot of banks are SBA approved, so that you can go through your local bank. I would start there. Find out how much they're willing to lend you,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll know how much else you need. To start a brewery, depending on your size, you're looking at anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million to get it up and running. That's, you know, covering lease costs, paying your professionals like your attorneys, buying equipment, which is, you know, which is not cheap. In the early days of this whole brewery boom, it was easier to find used equipment. Now you have to buy new.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big concern. Now, the thing with securities is you want to find an exemption from registration. Registration is, you know, that's what we talk about, like a public company, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A small business like a startup brewery does not need to be a public company,
mm-hmm.
okay? So you want to find an exemption from registration. The easiest way to raise money for your brewery is to look for what we call accredited investors.
Mm-hmm.
These are folks that have a lot of different criteria, but I'll boil it down, $1 million net worth, not including your primary residence. Okay, if you do that, the federal laws, the state securities laws, which you also have to comply with, the disclosure requirements are far less, the filing requirements are far less, and by the same token, the attorney's fees are far less to prepare all the disclosure documents.
Sure. So you can give somebody some good advice on how to actually save some money in raising money for their organization.
Exactly.
Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show, talking about a startup brewery and the 10 legal steps in getting one started. If you have questions for Jeff O'Brien, you can reach him at jobrien@lohman.com. Again, that's jobrien@lohman.com. And we'll be back here in just a moment to talk about the final steps and considerations to getting your brewery started. Again, Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned. The Army used to say, we're looking for a few good men. Along these lines, the Business Forum Show is looking for a few good business owners, men or women. You don't have to be an amazing company. You only need to have the right attitude to join an exclusive group of companies that the TBFS cast has worked with in this past year. 12 different companies in the last 12 months improved their profitability an average of 252%. That's correct, 252%. Do you think you have the right attitude to join these business owners? If you're selected, you'll learn from the best and brightest people in business today, and your company will be on its way to an amazing future. Again, the website is thebusinessforumshow.com or call our studio, 763-267-7260. Again, 763-267-7260. The 250% Profit Improvement Club is looking for a few new members. Call TBFS today.
Hi, I'm Russ Brainerd. Before I discovered the Spike System, I was like many Americans who had a lifelong struggle with weight. This struggle ended 10 years ago when I first began to spike, and since then I have learned how to get in the best shape of my life. What is spiking? Spiking is a healthy lifestyle that allows you to truly eat what you love and still lose and maintain weight. Strict diets actually reduce our body's natural metabolism, which explains why most dieters hit the dreaded plateau. Spiking gives our metabolism a significant boost that lasts for several days, which allows us to lose weight at an accelerated rate. So here's what a spike looks like. On spike day, you are encouraged to eat more calories than you need and enjoy whatever kind of foods you like. The other 6 days of the week, you eat a responsible calorie amount with foods high in protein and fiber. So overall, you're in a caloric deficit, which means you lose weight. But the benefit of spiking keeps your metabolism burning strong. It also gives you a mental break each week. For more information, discover the Spike System and get started on a new you today. Losing weight and living healthy was never easier and more fun than spiking. I'm Russ Brainerd, and thanks for listening.
Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show, talking about breweries today and the 10 legal steps to getting one started. And there's a lot of considerations here, Jeff. Choosing a name, forming an entity. We talked about trademarks for the brewery name and the beer names, leasing space for your brewery, having your brewer and other key employees sign non-compete agreements, and raising money considerations for the organization. Let's move on to applying for the brewer's notice, which is now, as you mentioned, known as the ATTB. This was the ATF for...
The ATF still exists. It covers like more of the firearms violations and things like, I think in the Patriot Act days and the War on Terror, they sort of split it out. This division is the Alcohol, Tobacco, Trade and Tax Bureau. Mm-hmm. We call it TTB for short.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we've talked about up till now leads up to this moment. This is, you, in order to manufacture any kind of alcohol in this country for use other than personal or the sale, you have to have permission, i.e. a license, from the TTB.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it in different divisions. And, of course, for breweries, we're talking about a brewer's notice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and so you will start out there. You have to get your get the permission to manufacture beer.
Mm-hmm.
And the TTB, it's pretty straightforward. It's now they've now streamlined. It used to be it could have been 6 to 12 months to get your TTB approval. I've had clients that have had it as quickly as 3 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
They have put the process online. It's their permits online process, and you can go ahead and you can input all the data in there. Here's the kicker. This is what you need as a prerequisite to file with TTB. You need to have your corporate entity.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have your space secured because you have to provide them with a floor plan and,
mm-hmm.
and your equipment. They want to show you see your proof of funds. So what we've been talking up until now about forming an entity,
all of this has to be done,
space and raising money. That has to be done
sure.
before you can even apply for your license. That's why everything is. That's why this business, this industry is so tricky, because there is a period of time that you can't do anything, and you have to expend some funds with professionals to get going. Which is why you want to work with folks that have done this over and over again,
mm-hmm.
because obviously we've got kind of a base of knowledge. We aren't researching every time to figure out how we're going to do this. So yes, you have to go apply and get your brewer's notice with the TTB. I said the process is pretty straightforward. They want information on your corporate structure. They'll do background checks on anybody that owns 10% or more, or that's an officer
mm-hmm.
or a director. And then it's pretty neat. You submit it. You print out a sheet with a little barcode on it, and you can send it, or you can upload your attachments. That they will ask to see your corporate documents, your lease, your proof of funds. So
mm-hmm.
it could be your FBA commitment letter. It could be subscription agreements. However you have raised your funds to show them you have sufficient funds to open and operate. And then once you have that, then we talk about state licenses, because once the state licenses are easy once you have the TTB, because all they're asking for is what's your TTB approval, and then they ask for there's some bonds and things that have to be posted at each level. So you want to work with an insurance agent that can link you up with a surety bond.
Mm-hmm.
You know the amounts are always changing, but you'll have a federal one and a state one. And then you also have to get, before you open, if you're going to sell, say, bottles or cans to the public,
mm-hmm.
you do have to get label approval from the TTB as well.
Sure.
In terms of what the ingredients are. And if you've got a food product like a little hint of citrus, like some people do these days, you also have to get FDA approval.
Oh, very nice.
So, but the main thing is, the right to produce beer, you have to have your brewer's notice. And then next step on dovetailing on that, like I said, is the state license. And then in some issues, you have to get permission from the municipality where you're operating.
Mm-hmm.
And an example of that would be here in Minnesota, where a brewery can open a tap room at its location.
Mm-hmm.
By state statute, even though it's a state statute that allows it, but the statute also provides that you have to get the actual license from the municipality. So in order to get a tap room license, you go to your city or your township or wherever. The state and local licenses are pretty academic once you've gone through the federal. The federal mm-hmm. is the biggest mm-hmm. hurdle.
Gotcha. So beyond all of the considerations, the legalities that you have to go through, here our last step is talking about choosing the distributors, and I imagine this has to be a little more complicated than people think.
It's extremely complicated, especially here in Minnesota, that has one of the worst distributor laws for breweries in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It is very pro-distributor,
mm-hmm.
and what happens is if a brewery gives a distributor a drop of beer, you know, even a keg of beer, saying, "Hey, let me just take it to such and such event, and we'll mm-hmm. we'll sample, we'll see how it goes."
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you always want to promote your business, so you give them the keg, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just create a distribution agreement,
mm-hmm.
and guess what? You can't terminate it unless you give 90 days notice and have good cause, which is defined by statute.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely hard to get out of a distribution agreement, so I always tell my clients, do not give a single drop of beer to a distributor without having a written distribution agreement that provides for some quality standards and
mm-hmm.
some oversight by the brewery and further defines what good cause is.
Mm-hmm.
so that if it's what happens is a lot of distributors, they make their money off of the big breweries. So for the little guys, they sign them up and, you know, toss them in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Not every distributor is like that. There's a few in town that are, it's like dealing with Darth Vader and the Death Star.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be, you want to be very careful when you get, you know, up to a certain amount. Usually in most states, you can self-distribute.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, make sure you are talking with an attorney and be sure that you are getting a written agreement with the distributor before you let them take any of your product out of your brewery.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Jeff, I realize I'm asking an attorney this question, but with all these people who think that they can do things themselves, what do you think the likelihood of a startup brewery navigating these 10 steps on their own? What problems?
It's extremely difficult, Kevin. I mean, everybody that I've known, even the breweries I don't represent, have attorneys involved, whether representing them or as owners. Someplace along the chain, there is one of my people out there helping them get through it, whether it be protecting trademarks, filing entities. At some point during the process, it's a good idea to pick up the phone and contact an attorney that knows what the heck to do in these situations. Like I said, I've touched almost 20 breweries. I've done this more than once. These folks are going to probably do it just once.
Mm-hmm.
You can benefit from my experience in coming to me and going through the process.
Kevin Hunter with Jeff O'Brien here on the Business Forum Show, visiting about startup breweries. Thanks for listening. No matter if you're a startup organization or you've been around in business 5 years, 10 years, or maybe 20 or 30 years, you've got a business story that we'd like to hear. Hi, I'm Kevin Hunter on the Business Forum Show. If you'd like to be featured on TBFS Radio, please go to our website, thebusinessforumshow.com, and click on the link for Request an Interview. Again, the website is thebusinessforumshow.com. Or you can call our studios at 763-267-7260. Get in contact with us today. We'd love to hear your story.